One of the most famous, more recent quotes about the nature of money is by the fictional Baltimore drug dealer D'Angelo Barksdale in the phenomenal U.S. series The Wire. Listeners may recall, "Money be green," he says. And here's just a quick refresher.
Hey, yo, yo, ho, ho, ho. This look like money? Money be green. Money feel like money.
Money feels like money, except when it doesn't. And that's been a question here in the Czech Republic. Money of the future will no longer be bills, and it will not be the digital money of today either. Scientists at Palatsky University in Olomouc have demonstrated that in all likelihood, it will be quantum, ultra secure and impossible to clone. Associate Professor Karel Lemmer at the University in Olomouc, involved in the research which led to a prototype quantum bill, told me more about the quantum world and how far quantum money has come since it was first thought of in the 1970s.
You see, when the quantum money protocol was actually invented or proposed for the first time, the situation was much different from what we know today. For instance, the experiments in the lab, we weren't able to implement even the basis of quantum gates at that time. So we've moved quite forward. And also we are now capable of distributing quantum information at much longer distances, dozens of kilometers, for instance. So we're slowly getting there, and that's the reason why this concept was reviewed again, because it's getting more important now.
Is it the case that with quantum computing, the necessity for quantum money will eventually grow? Quantum computers would make it easier to hack digital digital money now.
Well, yeah, you're actually perfectly right. Yeah. Obviously, the advances in quantum information processing would not jeopardize the classical paper money. It's a completely different concept, but they would jeopardize, for instance, the Bitcoin, the current digital currency. As you see, Bitcoin is based on classical ciphers, classical algorithms, and with quantum computers, you will be able to break those algorithms much faster. So that's the reason why quantum computing is a threat to both classical digital currency like Bitcoin or classical secure communications like the RSI cipher, for instance. So with the advances in quantum computing, you will actually need to have some more secure concept. And obviously, quantum physics offers you this secure concept of quantum money. And for the secure communications, it's quantum cryptography.
Let's get into why it is that quantum physics offers these advantages, potentially money which is super secure.
Well, in the quantum world, there are different rules than for what we are used to today in classical world. For instance, in a classical world, any classical state can be perfectly duplicated. In principle, you can take a sheet of paper and you can perform a perfect duplicate in your copying machine. In principle, I mean. In the quantum world, it's completely different. There is a fundamental law that prohibits making copies of an unknown quantum state. So if I give you a photon or whatever system in a for you unknown quantum state, you won't be able to perform a perfect replica. That's actually the security behind the law, implementing security behind both the quantum money and quantum cryptography.
The basic particle which is used in your experiment or in your research is the photon. These were used to create sort of this quantum bill. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Obviously, you can't imagine quantum money like some sort of a physical banknote with some implemented atoms on top of it. That was the original concept maybe in the 70s. Now we kind of review this concept and we come to a conclusion that if quantum money would be a future thing, it would be most likely a string of photons sent via wireless or optical lines, optical fibers. You see, light is a perfect carrier for quantum information. Photons are very robust against noise, so they can be sent over large distances in optical fibers. The National Bank, the money issuer, would generate a random sequence. It wouldn't be any bill at all. It would be a random sequence that's crucial. And this random sequence of photons, I mean the sequence of states in which the photons were prepared. So this sequence would be secure and it would be known only by the issuing bank.
There's also kind of a built-in potential problem, which is the fact that when the information is sent or when the photons are sent, it never, so to speak, arrives in the exact same makeup as when it left. Is that a potential risk?
Well, yes. In a real world, you have to take into account some imperfections. Now, obviously, in a theoretical concept, you can predict that the distribution of photons encoding the quantum bill would be perfect. But in the real world, you have to take account of some losses, of some imperfections. Imagine you have a classical banknote, a classical paper banknote, and you go to a bank, and your banknote is damaged. For instance, a corner is cut. Now, the bank would accept the banknote because it's obvious that it's a real, genuine banknote, but only a corner of some portion of the banknote is damaged. With quantum money, the bank would have to accept a partial banknote, I mean a slightly damaged banknote. For instance, a portion of the sequence will be missing, or a portion of the sequence will be in a different state than it should have been. Now, the banknote has to have some threshold, some acceptance threshold, and there is this risk. If you lower your threshold, you will obviously accept more damaged banknotes, but then an attacker can perform an approximate duplication, not the perfect one, that's prohibited, but an approximate duplication, which is completely okay with quantum mechanical laws, and sell it as a genuine banknote. And setting this threshold so that this counterfeiting is impossible, and yet the legitimate banknotes, slightly damaged, are still accepted. Now, that's the real trick. It is possible, and that's something we have established in our paper. Like the exact number for encoding schemes, that's the threshold that the bank should have set.
People who would be interested in creating counterfeit money of this sort, presumably they would have to have very high-tech equipment themselves.
High-tech, maybe, but achievable, even with the current level of technology. Well, we have performed this counterfeiting operation, so obviously it's well within the capabilities of at least some laboratories in the world.
When you said at the beginning that it's still not on the order of the day, do you think that quantum money is something that we can be sure to count on within a decade, two decades?
More likely 2 decades. You see, we are still waiting for some quantum memories that we can use to store the quantum money in. We are now capable of distributing quantum money. We are perfectly capable of doing that. It's very similar to quantum cryptography, which has been around for a decade now. I mean, commercially available. But for quantum money, we would need some sort of a quantum purse, some memory, and that's tricky. And, well, we are slowly getting there, but really slowly. So maybe 2 decades, half a century, it's hard to tell.
One final question, and that is to do with whether or how the work that's gone into this project could also be applied in other areas that the quantum mechanics could be used in a similar fashion to serve different needs.
Quantum money project we have been working on fits within the much larger area of our interest. You see, the counterfeiting was based on quantum cloning. Quantum cloning as a tool can be used for various useful stuff in quantum information processing. So, for instance, we have shown that quantum cloning can be used in attacking quantum cryptography. We have used quantum cloning to, let's say, increase the capacity of lossy quantum channels. So basically, the physics behind quantum money, behind this particular experiment, can be used for other stuff as well, like security of quantum cryptography, increasing the amplification of quantum information, etc.